My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. It's one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. We have her on frequently to get her thoughts on various developments in the arena of healthcare policy, and particularly as it relates to the president's healthcare law. But earlier this week, Grace Marie contributed to the New York Times Room for Debate blog on the topic of whether the government, or more accurately the taxpayer, ought to be funding contraception for young girls. The issue was officially titled Birth Control on Demand, Should It Be Provided by the Government to Reduce Teen Pregnancies? And Grace Marie, thanks very much for being with us.
Greg, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Contraception's been a big issue in the news ever since the contraception mandate of the Obama administration came in. What is the genesis for this particular debate, though?
Well, the most recent issue involves a pilot test in Colorado where a private charitable organization had paid for long-term birth control, implants and IUDs and other things for teenage girls, and they found that that dramatically reduced the incidence of pregnancy. And therefore, the Colorado legislature then considered legislation for taxpayer funding for long-term birth control. But it was not able to get through the Colorado legislature. One house is controlled by Republicans, another by Democrats, because the issue of government funding, as you say, Greg, taxpayer-funded contraception, particularly contraceptive devices that cause an early abortion, as an IUD does, is that too many people in the country who have religious convictions against that, and you cannot have taxpayer funding for it. But I took it to a larger issue as well, and really basically, what kind of message does that send to teenage girls? That we don't trust them to be responsible with their own sexuality. The government is going to take care of them. They can have sex without consequence. Well, there's no sex without consequence, even if pregnancy is not one of those consequences, because the incidence of sexually transmitted diseases will increase. The sense of responsibility for these young women, their ability to have longer-term relationships in later in life. The whole issue of using this time for these young women to build self-respect, to earn it by being responsible for themselves. And if government provides long-term birth control for them for free, then it's basically going to say that we don't trust you with your lives. Government's going to take care of you.
Grace Marie, for those who are in favor of this, is it really, in your estimation, about trying to reduce teen pregnancies, which obviously is a worthy goal, or is there something more to this?
You know, you really do have to see that there is a larger agenda. Frankly, the abortion lobby has been very active in pushing for the passage of the Affordable Care Act, then including in it a mandate that all private health plans have to provide free contraceptive coverage, and that includes abortifacient, and it includes the preventive care mandate in Obamacare, includes sterilization. So there's just this culture of death that I just think is so, and such an antithesis to what health care is about. They treat pregnancy as a disease instead of treating it as the life-giving force that it is. So there's a very basic fundamental difference between the agenda of the right, the agenda of the left, and that's really manifest in this most recent controversy that the New York Times had this room for debate discussion about.
Grace Marie, do you sense that this is headed towards a larger national debate, or is it mainly an issue that's germinating in Colorado at this point?
I think that when you see something like this as a pilot test and when it reaches the New York Times, that it absolutely is very likely to be advanced as a national agenda, and certainly in the upcoming presidential election, I would be very surprised, because Hillary Clinton, if she gets the nomination, is certainly going to push women's issues to the front and center, and this is certainly one of them. I remember when Mitt Romney in the 2012 campaign was asked about men, you know, whether or not he would prohibit contraceptives, and it came really out of the blue. Well, it was, again, part of the agenda of trying to build constituencies, but not thinking about the longer-term consequences of what does this mean for us as a civil society? If young women are not taking care of themselves, men are not going to respect them, they are not going to be in a position to form longer-term relationships. They're going to have a much more difficult time of that. It certainly could be compromising their health. And their sense of being able to earn their place in a civil society absolutely would be compromised by this. That is very, looking at Frederick Bastiat, where does this go long-term? It's really one of those issues that is fundamental about what kind of society we have. Do we have? Do we have one in which people are responsible for themselves? Our healthcare system is not going to work if we don't have individual responsibility really at the core, and then a safety net for those who need it. But if we think that government really is supposed to take care of us, then that really would be part of the agenda, I think, of those who would be advancing this particular initiative.
Grace Marie, just a couple of minutes left in our conversation here. You mentioned a little bit earlier in our conversation about the stark divide, as you see it, between the left and the right on this issue. As we mentioned at the outset, the contraception issue seemed to work pretty well for Democrats and the president in particular in 2012. In 2014, Republicans seemed to be able to flip the script a little bit. Cory Gardner out in Colorado, coincidentally enough, advocated for over-the-counter birth control, and all of a sudden the left was playing catch-up on that aspect of the issue. Where do you think the right is at this point on the issue of contraception, both politically and morally?
Well, I think that they are kind of all over the map. But the one thing that I see as a consistent policy is that they want to make sure that those conservatives want to make sure that those who have a religious conviction, religious objection to contraception, to abortion patients, that they are not forced to pay for these services as taxpayers, and they're not forced to provide them to their employees as the Little Sisters of the Poor would, and that's a case that's going to be making its way to the Supreme Court. Every time that this has come up to the Supreme Court, as many cases as we've lost about Obamacare before the Supreme Court, they have come down in favor of protection of religious liberty and religious and moral convictions. And you can't force somebody to do something that is against their religious belief. So I'm hoping that that really is at least a firewall to protect those who have a strong moral and religious objection, that they are not going to be forced to pay for or provide those services that they feel really are morally abhorrent.
Another major dimension to a religious liberty debate that obviously is already well underway right now in America. Grace Marie, thank you very much for being with us today as usual.
Greg, thank you very much.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute, one of the most respected healthcare policy organizations in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.